I really don't want to give this talk. And probably a number of you in the audience don't want to hear it. How's that a good way to start the morning? But I'm doing it in the spirit of Ezekiel 33, which I mentioned the other day. I think every once in a while it's important to sound certain warnings. What I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to make a very superficial comparison between the Russell and Rice chronologies. I'm going to call them the old and the new, just for convenience sake. I'm going to do this in basic areas. I'm not going to mention a whole lot of numbers, if I can help it, because I don't think numbers are what you like jangling in your head so much. I want to talk about concepts. And the reason I'm doing this is, in certain areas, the Rice chronology is very compelling. And there are brethren who are dealing with its minutiae of details, and I will leave that to them to do. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to deal with very basic overview concepts, because I want you to know what you are abandoning if you switch from the old chronology to the new. And you may not know that. That's basically the purpose of this morning. Hence my title, Are You Ready To? Are you ready to abandon this for this? Or this for this? Probably it's going to sound strange to start a discourse with a warning. I don't know that anybody ever does that. But I'm going to start with a warning. This does not in any way reflect upon my respect for the spirituality of the author of the new chronology. And anybody who puts that in his mind, the blood's on your hands, not on mine. Because I happen highly to respect the person who came up with the new chronology. I'm constantly blessed by his services. So don't do that. As I said the other night, separate ideas from people. I simply want to show you that certain ideas are wrong. That's all. I think this is one of those deceptions that Jesus warned against at this time that are so strong they could deceive the very elect. All right, first of all, let's talk about some basic concepts. Chronology is not about the date of the peaceable kingdom. Hope you heard that. Chronology is not about the date of the peaceable kingdom. Chronology is almost entirely about the Lord's return and events that precede it and succeed it. It is not about the date of the peaceable kingdom. That was Brother Russell's mistake. Brother Russell's chronology was not wrong. Brother Russell's mistake was he pointed to that dotted line at the end of the harvest, 1914, at his time at least. And he says, that's when the kingdom will be established. That was his mistake. Jesus said, you cannot know that date. In Matthew 24, he said, heaven and earth will pass. That's the dotted line, isn't it? The old heavens and the old earth will pass. Heaven and earth will pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, not even the Son, not Jesus himself. That was the mistake Brother Russell made. That is the mistake the new chronology makes. It gives you a date of 2043. That date is not available. Are you ready to ignore Jesus' words that you cannot know the date that heaven and earth will pass away? Let me throw a word at you that has become, at least out in the world of people who do a lot of thinking, an important word in the last decade or so. You may have heard it. Paradigm. It doesn't mean two nickels. A paradigm is a way of thinking. And when you think in a certain scheme of things, everything makes sense to you within that scheme. Now, this is one of the problems that we face here, because when you think in terms of the old chronology, everything fits within the paradigm and balances just fine. And when you think in terms of the new chronology, everything fits within the scope of that paradigm and fits just fine. But let me tell you, and this is a terribly important point, all chronology relies upon some leaps of faith. I don't care what paradigm there is, what chronology there is. Each one necessitates some leaps of faith in understanding. Therefore, if you hear someone who holds the new chronology speaking to someone who holds the old, you will hear them giving responses to each other. And I want to point this out. There's a difference between a response and an answer. There are things in each paradigm, in each chronology, that do not have solid answers. They have responses. We can put people well-informed on both sides on this platform and have them discuss it, and you will see they will give responses, and everyone will have an answer for everything, except they aren't answers. They're responses. Because some items are leaps of faith. So don't think that you're dealing with absolute black and white in every case. You are not. Next point under basic concepts, I want to talk to you about what Brother Russell aptly calls the venerable tradition. It is so venerable that there is no Bible chronology that can exist without it. The word tradition throws people, but Paul uses it. And Paul says to hold fast the tradition which you have been taught, because there are scriptural traditions which are exactly that. They are scriptural. They are not man-made traditions. The venerable tradition that we are going to mention now about chronology is at the basis of everything that anybody in the current time who deals with chronology must accept. And we can see that they accept this because of the way they use it, but frequently they ignore its import. Now, what is that tradition? That tradition was introduced by God Himself in the very first chapter of the Bible. He said, "I worked 6 days, I rested the seventh." First chapter of the Bible, mind you, is where this tradition comes from. And God, in order to make sure that this was not forgotten, writes it into the Jewish law in two ways. He says, "I want you to work, labor, 6 days. I want you to rest the seventh." Then he said, "Let me impress it on you a little more. I want you to labor in your field 6 years and rest the seventh." 6 days, 6 years. But you catch the point. Work six, rest one. All chronology is based on that concept. Six periods of labor, one period of rest. Why do you think the old and the new chronology start out by adding up 6,000 years? I mean, after all, you can see what's at the basis of that. Why should we start by adding up 6,000 years? That's sort of fruitless. Why don't we start by adding up 4,500 years or 39,000 years? Why did we pick six? Because of that venerable tradition, God placed it in the minds of His Jewish people and His Christian people. If you want to understand my plan in time, There will be labor under sin and death for six periods. There will be one period of rest. And we don't know how long those are until we find clues. There are only three times that 1,000 is mentioned, once in the Psalms, once in 2 Peter, once in Revelation. And it is based upon those very things, that we say the seventh period, the period of rest and restitution, is 1,000 years long. Therefore, the six periods preceding it are 1,000 years apiece. That's the basis of chronology. Any chronology that is not built on that concept has no scriptural basis. It's that simple. It is that simple. Not only, and I'll show this in a moment, not only does the new chronology miss this point, but a number of the chronological aberrations of the last 50 years have missed this point. Let's go further. The new chronology does not calculate 6,000 years of labor followed by 1,000 years of rest. The new chronology, if you know anything about it, starts with the creation of Adam and adds up 6,000 years, and in its reckoning comes up with 2043. What's wrong with that? Labor under sin and death didn't start when Adam was created. That's what's wrong with it. It adds up 6,000 years and leaves you nowhere. Leaves you hanging in space. We're 6,000 years from Adam, so what? Remember, the venerable tradition is 6,000 years of labor under sin and death, not 6,000 years from Adam. Do you see the difference? There's a tremendous difference. Brother Russell does this too. He takes in volume 2, he starts adding up from the creation of Adam, comes up with 1872. You know what he does with it? Nothing. Nothing. Brother Russell doesn't say anything about 1872. Thank goodness he doesn't. And he doesn't because he knew the venerable tradition. 1872, 6,000 years from Adam, is nothing. It just brings you into the vicinity of the time you ought to start looking for Jesus. That's why Brother Russell added it up. On the contrary, the new chronology adds it up as if it means something, and it doesn't mean anything. 6,000 years from Adam's creation is zilch. I'm wrong. It's the year Bob Gray turns 100. To him, that will be important. All right. Are you ready to throw away the concept of 6,000 years of labor under sin and death and replace it with 6,000 years from Adam, which means nothing? I hope you aren't, because if I said nothing else this morning, that has made the new chronology worthless. It has taken you nowhere. Not only does it take you nowhere, it has no mechanism for finding when sin and death entered. Brother Russell has a mechanism for finding when that enters. He calls it the beginning of the seventh creative day. He calls it the time that Adam leaves the Garden of Eden. He calls it the time that 6,000 years of labor and sin and death enter the picture. The new chronology has no mechanism for finding out how Adam was in the garden. None. Doesn't make that claim. And unless you can find that, you don't know when 6,000 years of labor under sin and death start. I have not mentioned complicated things here this morning. I have mentioned the very simplest of chronological concepts. But you can rely on it. It is a venerable tradition because it's God's. So, are you ready to accept a chronology where the entire seventh creative day is unfindable? I don't mean to slight a concept, but the new chronology makes a great deal about precision in detail. But it's lost an entire 7,000 year period. It's not findable. And finally, under these basic concepts, let me quote from Morton Edgar, Great Pyramid Passages, page XXX. Quote, "I desire to repeat," unquote. Let me stop just there for a moment. Brother Edgar found this following sentence so important, he says it more than once. "I desire to repeat. The Great Pyramid, by its accurate time measurements, upholds the Bible chronology as presented to us by Brother Russell, together with all the prophetic periods and dates based upon this chronology." Unquote. You may say the Great Pyramid is not the Bible. I agree, it isn't. However, the Bible, as we understand it, talks about it and seems to make it a witness to God. I wouldn't slight that testimony. To change that, you need a bulldozer. That's why Judge Rutherford, when he gave up on Brother Russell's chronology, said of the pyramid, "It's the devil's work." It was his only recourse. Are you ready to say that also? All right. Now let's go to building the insignificant 6,000 years. Remember I said it's really quite insignificant to find 6,000 years from Adam's creation. And it is. It's going to take us to 1872, which is nothing. But we've got to start somewhere. And that is where most chronologers start. So let's run down the old chronology and see what it does, and insert a few comments as we go along. The point of finding 6,000 years from Adam's creation is to put us in the vicinity of Jesus' return, because when we can find out how long Adam was in Eden, the difference between his creation and his fall is going to be the difference between 1872 and when the actual seventh millennium begins. All right, the first thing we did, we added up Adam to the flood. Remember all the begats, came up with 1656 years. There is an interesting lesson from the second volume on this, because as we add them up, the author says, we realize that we're just adding up whole years, not fractions of years. He says, as far as we can tell, the Lord makes up for this. The Lord doesn't care about the fractions. So when we add all this up and come up to the flood and get 1656 years, do you realize through all those begats, you could be years off? So this is a leap of faith to say that each one of those years just means a year. Now, the IRS lets you do that. You can round off to the nearest dollar. We do that in Kentucky. All thoroughbreds are born on January 1st. Doesn't matter when they're born. They're all born on January 1st. That way, when they enter a race, there's no question as to how old they are. The Lord did that with all the begats. He lets us round off. And you know, the nice thing is, he says, you want to know how accurate you were? Every once in a while, he'll throw something in after we've added all this stuff up, and he'll say, to the self same day. Here you've added up thousands of the years, and God says, in case you have any doubt that those partial years make a difference, bang, to the self same day. We didn't lose a day. I'm mentioning this because the new chronology makes a lot of discussion in certain areas about what month it is. Don't think that's always significant. All right, then we took the flood to the covenant. We found that was 427 years. We went from the covenant to the law. Galatians 3 did that in one text, 430 years. We went the Exodus to the division of the land, 46 years. Then we had the period of Judges, and we relied on Acts 13 to get 450 years instead of trying to figure it out from the Old Testament, which is possible but difficult. And this is our first problem as old chronology meets new, the period of the Judges. The new chronology relies very heavily on 1 Kings 6. I'm not even going to go into the numbers. I'm not here for numbers this morning. Brother Russell says it's erroneous. Commentators on chronology over the centuries have said it is erroneous, or at least suspected it was erroneous. The new chronology cannot exist without it. It hangs its hat on it. It is a suspicious text. I don't think it's a great idea to hang your hat on a suspicious text. But let me even say this. You know, if we took a poll here, probably most of you have a King James Bible. Well, Jesus' day, of course, was before the printing press. But the Bibles that were generally in circulation at that time among Jews, the ones that were sort of the King James of Jesus' day, is what we call the Septuagint. If you look in the Septuagint under 1 Kings 6, 1, it's got a different number in it. So, the extant Bible, the popular Bible of the Apostles' day, didn't even agree with this date. It has been suspect for centuries. The new chronology needs it. Are you ready to hang your hat on it? The new chronology comes up with a period of judges of 352 years. Paul says about 450. And I don't think he meant about. I think he meant really quite exactly. But nevertheless, if you meant 352, would you say about 450? You want to hang your hat on that discrepancy? Mind you, this is the Apostle Paul, an inspired apostle who said the period of the judges was 450 years long. But let's suppose he wasn't an inspired apostle. Let's suppose he was just Saul, the Pharisee of the Pharisees. You know what it means to be a Pharisee of the Pharisees? If you know any really scholarly Talmudic Jews today, you might know what that means. It means they know every dot on the page of Scripture so well they can recite it forward, backward, and interpret it for you. Paul knew 1 Kings 6. Knowing 1 Kings 6, if he came out and said the period of Judges was about 450 years, he would have looked like a blithering idiot. It's not reconcilable. It's impossible. Paul knew 1 Kings 6:1 was there, and yet he said the period of Judges was 450 years long. That's hard to reconcile. Are you willing to throw away the old chronology for the new? On that? Next was the period of the kings. We add up the kings of Judah, come up with 513 years. We do it from Kings, we do it from Chronicles, two separate witnesses. The new chronology, in its attempt to do what chronologers have attempted to do for ages, and that is synchronize the kings of Judah with the kings of Israel, come up with something shorter. Here, there are responses to the new chronology. I don't think there are answers yet. But I still think it's wrong. I have no reason to think that the Lord was any less accurate with the kings of Judah through whom the promise was to come than he was with all the begats we add up, which came frequently to the self same day. I don't think there's a problem here. There is, by the way, an additional hint Many of you may remember when we talk about a day representing a year, we refer back to Ezekiel, the fourth chapter, where Ezekiel was supposed to lay on his side and then lay on his other side for X number of days representing years. Kind of interesting there. It was a punishment for Israel. And before Ezekiel was supposed to lay on his side, he said, take a brick and write Jerusalem on it and lay a siege against it. And then he's playing. He's making a toy. He's calling a brick the city of Jerusalem, laying a siege against it. So apparently this symbolizes all the way to the siege of Jerusalem. In other words, the end of the period of the kings. And he says, for Israel, you lay on your side 390 years. Now, if we compare, when you get a chance, 2 Chronicles 11, I think the suggestion is that this starts from the division of the tribes, obviously, because he had to do it for Israel, and then he had to do it for Judah. In the third year of Rehoboam. Now, Rehoboam was the fourth king of Israel. The first three kings, I think all of you know how long they reigned, and each 40 years peace. 40, 40, 40 gives you 120. 3 years of Rehoboam gives you 123. What happens when you add 123 and 390? You get 513. I suspect the Lord is here saying also, the period of the kings is 513 years. It's hard to interpret it any other way. Even though I don't totally understand those passages I just quoted. All right, the next thing we do in trying to find 6,000 years is we add the period of desolation, 70 years. The new chronology says no. Daniel 9:2 says yes. You don't have to take my word for it. Read Daniel 9:2 anytime you have a moment. Daniel 9:2 is precious to me. You know, Daniel is one of those prophets that basically says, I wrote, but I understood not. And it made him sick. Several times in his book, he gets ill. I mean, just physically ill because he doesn't understand. And he's really worried about the future of Israel, and he's praying to the Lord. And he supports his prayer with study. He obviously had out the book of Jeremiah, and he's studying Jeremiah. And in 9:2, he says, I understood by the words of Jeremiah that the desolation is 70 years long. Now here's the inspired apostle, pardon me, the inspired prophet who very frequently did not understand, now saying, I understood the desolation to be 70 years long from studying the prophet Jeremiah. The new chronology says no. Daniel, Jeremiah say yes. Which one are you going to hang your hat on? Are you ready to deny Daniel 9:2? This is not the old chronology. This is not David Duran. This is Daniel saying, I understood Jeremiah. All right, and the last tricky step is the end of that desolation is the first year of Cyrus. This is where history comes in. First year of Cyrus, according to the old chronology, is 536 B.C. I accept that. So obviously from there to the A.D. B.C. dateline is 536 years. We add all that up that we've just done. We come up with 4128 years. So that means Adam must have been created in 4128. That's where we get that date. But the new chronology questions the history about the first year of Cyrus, saying it was 538 B.C. Don't fall out of your seats. But the first year of Cyrus was 559 B.C. Neither date. You see, sometimes we get so involved in detail, we forget the big picture. Cyrus had been a king long, long before the time that Israel was going to be set loose from Babylon, or before the decree went out from Cyrus to reestablish things back in Jerusalem. This becomes a matter of interpretation, not of history. The first year of Cyrus is 559 BC. Now, the argument becomes, what is this 558 verse 556? And the argument basically is the first year of Cyrus, when Darius went in through the river channel and remember the Feast of Belshazzar? Or is it 2 years later? I think there's plenty of evidence that it's 2 years later. First of all, it wasn't even Cyrus that went in and took over Jerusalem in Babylon in 538. It was Darius. And by the way, if you're a conquering army taking over some new country, is the first thing you're going to do go in there and say, well, I'm not worried about all these Babylonians. I understand you got some captive people here, slaves named Jews, and I want to send them back to their own land. That's most unlikely. That's the first thing a conqueror is going to do when he enters a land. Scriptures, I believe, date the first year of Cyrus as the year that Cyrus takes control of Jerusalem as the second animal in Daniel's vision. The second part of Nebuchadnezzar's vision with the arms and chest of silver. This is the first year of Cyrus. Remember, this is interpretation. This is not history. The first year of Cyrus as king of the Persians is 559 BC. All right, now, forget the numbers. 558, 556. Forget them. Except to know this. There is a confirmation as to which date is correct. When Brother Russell said to the whole world, watch the fall of 1914, he based that prediction on the first year of Cyrus being 536 BC. It happened. The whole world saw it happen. Don't we look a little peculiar now when we go back and say it's wrong? This is past history. If 536 were wrong, Brother Russell's prediction of the First World War would have been wrong. Now, some people say you can't prove things that way. Just because it happened doesn't mean you had the information right at the beginning. I beg to differ, and I'm going to give you three scriptures that beg to differ with that. Number one, Gabriel in Daniel 9:25, when he's talking about the 70 weeks prophecy, he says, when this is fulfilled, it will seal the prophet and the prophecy. That's Gabriel. He's an angel. He said, fulfillment will seal the prophet and the prophecy. So, 1914 fall came. The First World War broke out. Cyrus is 536. It seals it. According to Gabriel, Jesus says, this is better than Gabriel. Jesus says, wisdom is justified by her children, meaning her results. Wisdom is justified by her results. The First World War broke out. The results were there. Therefore, the wisdom that added up to it is justifiable. 536 is the first year of Cyrus. The new chronology makes a big argument about what Brother Russell says on thus and such a page and what Brother Russell meant. Again, I am incredulous. How can you argue what Brother Russell meant? It was in all the newspapers. He said what he meant. He said, watch the autumn of 1914. And the world watched. And it happened. And their mouths dropped open. That's what Brother Russell meant. You don't have to find a reprint page for it. and argue that that's not what he meant. But that's what the new chronology does. All right. By adding all that stuff up, we came up with 4,128 years. To make 6,000, we have to add 1,872 full years A.D. And we come to 1873's beginning, or the fall of 1872, however you prefer it. And as I said before, that's unimportant. We just did something that's kind of unimportant. We found 6,000 years from Adam's creation, so what? But that should bring us in the vicinity. The new chronology adds 6,000 and pretends it's important. This is so basic, I have to repeat it. The new chronology adds 6,000 and pretends it's important. And it's not. All right. Let's go to other prophecies. The 70 weeks. The 70 weeks in Daniel 9 is related to a prophecy in Daniel 8. Won't go into that. Except that the angel comes and says, 70 weeks have been cut off for your people, Daniel. 70 weeks are for Israel. So 490 years is going to be dealing with Israel. And he says in verse 25 of chapter 9, which I already mentioned to you, this will seal up and confirm the prophet and the prophecy. The same verse says it is 483 years. It is 69 weeks, 7 weeks and 62 weeks unto Messiah. Now, here again, I'm going to ask you in your time, when and if you feel like it, please read Daniel 9:25. Don't take my word. Don't take the old chronology word. Don't take the new chronology word. Take Daniel's word. Daniel says it is 69 weeks unto Messiah. You know when Messiah came. History knows when Messiah came. 29 A.D. The new chronology says no. If I can paraphrase rather than quote, the new chronology basically says it is 69 weeks until the time that you can expect Messiah to come pretty soon. The 69 weeks in the new chronology, by its own words, points to the installation of Pontius Pilate. It's not making an import of that. Just saying that's interesting observation. But the fact is, Daniel said it's 69 weeks to Messiah. Are you ready to argue with Daniel? It is 69 weeks unto Messiah. Period. I'm not saying it. I'm asking you to read it. Now, the primary import of this is Gabriel said this would seal the prophet and the prophecy. If it didn't, if we're still arguing about it, it means Daniel's never been sealed yet. You can't trust him as a prophet. You don't know what to do with the other numbers in there. Because if we're still arguing about whether Daniel has been sealed as a prophet and a prophecy, you don't know anything about Daniel. It's Gabriel's words, not mine. So either it took you to Messiah and Daniel was sealed, or it didn't and he isn't. I know I'm black and white sometimes. But that seems so plain. If it didn't seal Daniel, Gabriel goofed. Worse, God goofed. Next prophecy, the Jubilee. The most important single chronological prophecy that we have. It is the only way to determine the time of Jesus' return. It is the only prophecy that is going to tell us when that seventh period of rest starts, so that we know where the 6,000 years of labor started. That's the import of the Jubilee. It's all based on Acts 3:21. This is the Bible student text. It's the Laodicean text. It is the only text in the Bible which directly links the return of Jesus to a date. Heaven must retain him until the time of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by all of his holy prophets since the world began. The new chronology has the Jubilee fulfilled at 1878 and links it primarily with the restoration of Israel. I don't know how I can say strongly enough, the Jubilee is not about the restoration of Israel. It may include it. Just like the Passover, it's not about Israel. It's about the world. So is the Jubilee. It's about the world. It is, by authority of Acts 3:21, about the return of Jesus. Now, here is a real roadblock. The new chronology puts the return of Jesus at 1874. I like that. So does the old one. But it puts Acts 3:21, the Jubilee, at 1878. So it has Jesus returning before the times of restitution of all things. Acts 3:21 says that's impossible. Heaven must retain him until the times of restitution of all things. So he couldn't have come in 1874 if the Jubilee is fulfilled in 1878. It just cannot be. Here is my real argument with, my real concern with the new chronology. If we get mixed up with numbers, that doesn't bother me. What I'm afraid we're doing is getting mixed up with that which supports the very return of Jesus Christ our Lord. The new chronology bases the date entirely on Daniel 12, which I don't think says it. Blessed is he that comes to the 1335 days. That's great. Doesn't tell you why it's blessed. Doesn't tell you anything. The venerable tradition, rest is the seventh period, labor are the preceding six. Because Revelation gives us 1,000 years as the reign of rest, we know how long each period of labor is. Now, the new chronology divorces the Jubilees from the desolation in 2 Chronicles 36, which gives the reason for the desolation, which is to fulfill the predetermined number of Jubilees. So the whole calculation of Jubilees has to be different, and I think unsuccessful. What we have done here, let me step back for a second. When we added up our 6,000 and came up with 1872, we had nothing. But when we had the Jubilee and found that restitution started in 1874, we had something. If the period of rest started in 74, that means the preceding 6,000 were the periods of non-rest, of labor, which means 4126 BC, Adam fell. We now know when the seventh creative day began. We know when Adam disobeyed. We know when the six periods of labor under sin and death began. All of this is not available in the new chronology. It is simply not available. There is no mechanism to find it. It adds up 6,000 years from Adam's creation and leaves you hanging at 2043. Adam could have been in the garden 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. Who knows? Which keeps pushing 2043 into the future before you find the end of 6,000 years of labor under sin and death. It's wrong. It's just wrong. We now know the period in Eden. We now can find the seventh creative day, all because of the Jubilee. This is not a curiosity. This is a necessity. Because adding up 6,000 years without it gets you nothing. Nothing. The Bible student movement began with the old chronology pinpointing the seventh creative day and pinpointing the beginning of the antitypical Sabbath. We are now offered a new chronology which can do neither. Are you ready to exchange that? And the new chronology has Jesus returned 3.5 years before the times of restitution, a scriptural impossibility in defiance of Acts 3:21. Are you ready to do that? Next prophecy, the Jewish double. I've got to read Amos 3. We almost never use this in relationship to the Jewish double, but it is so important in concept. Let me read Amos 3, the first three verses. Hear this word which the Lord has spoken against you, sons of Israel, against the entire family which he brought up from the land of Egypt. Have you ever noticed how often when God speaks of Israel, it's the ones he brought up out of the land of Egypt? Have you ever wondered why? Because that's where they started. There was no nation of Israel before the land of Egypt. It is when Jacob dies and the Jews are in Egypt that Israel starts. That's why all of these prophecies about Israel start with you, the ones I brought up out of Egypt. Because you didn't exist before that time. Sons of Israel, against the entire family which he brought up from the land of Egypt, you only have I chosen among all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for your iniquities. Do two walk together unless they be agreed? That is the philosophical text behind the Jewish double. He says, I've walked with you since I took you out of Egypt, and now I'm not going to walk with you anymore. And we have the text, of course, on the Jewish double in Jeremiah and in Zechariah and in Isaiah, pointing out that that double dates from the time Jesus enters Jerusalem on the donkey. So it goes from the time they came into existence in Egypt to the time Jesus casts them off in Jerusalem. And the double goes from there to 1878 when they are restored with Petah Tikva in the Holy Land. Now, this is important. The old chronology took the texts from Jeremiah, Zechariah, Isaiah on the Jewish double and said we have double ages, twin ages, the Jewish age and the gospel age. I don't know if you're aware of this. The new chronology obliterates that possibility. There are no twin ages. Oh, when you read the new chronology, all kinds of pretty parallels. But I'm not talking about parallels. I'm talking about the basic philosophy here, the Jewish double. The new chronology basically says the Jewish double doesn't exist. And in order to just have some sort of semblance of a connection with the past, it goes back 1845 years from Jesus and ends up with the death of Sarah. Well, what on earth does the death of Sarah have to do with twin ages? Sarah wasn't a Jew. It wasn't a Jewish double. She didn't give birth to a Jewish nation. She wasn't in Egypt. I'm not telling you, because you must make up your mind for yourself, that the approach of the new chronology is wrong here. I'm telling you, are you ready to throw away the twin age Jewish double spoken of by three prophets? Because you must, if you exchange one chronology for another. They're incompatible. please know this also. The new chronology must reject that because it is an absolute proof of the correctness of all things we have been talking about for the last hour. Brother Russell said it was. You see, if the 1845 years from the time Jesus casts off the Jews goes back to the death of Jacob, that encompasses the desolation, the period of the kings, the period of the judges. It encompasses all of those things. And if you alter any one of them so much as 1 year, it won't work. It's as if the Lord put the Jewish double prophecy in the Bible as a safeguard for the true chronology. If you accept the new chronology, then yes, you must change the desolation, the kings, the judges. If you believe the Jewish double, you cannot alter them a moment. If the double is correct, and I certainly believe it's scriptural, it locks chronology in place like a great pyramid rock. Now, the new chronology has, as I mentioned, all kinds of pretty little parallels drawn that deal with harvest extensions of time. But if the basic double is wrong, then all the extensions are worthless baubles. They mean nothing because they're based on an error. Are you ready to ignore Jeremiah, Zechariah, Isaiah, Amos? Finally, that means I'm quitting. Actually, I have several things to say here. I'm not going to quit fast. I'm going to quit slowly. As Carl tells people out in the world, he believes in a slow rapture. It's taken well over a century. Finally, what do the scriptures say about the old chronology? What do the scriptures say about the Russell place in the history of chronological reporting? Let me start very quickly going down a number of texts. Revelation 14:15. I'm not going to read it. In that verse, chronology tells Jesus when to return and reap. It's the angel in that verse. Little thought will prove that to you. Mind you, if this be true, Jesus had the chronology when he returned and when he started to reap. He had it because the chronology angel, told it to him. It was available in 1874. He had it. That's why he returned. That's why he started reaping. Did he pass it on to Charles Taze Russell, who was blowing the seventh trumpet? According to Matthew 24:45-47, it says he would. I don't think he gave Brother Russell mistakes in chronology. The very chronology that told him when to return and when to start reaping. John 15:15 says he would share his information with his friends. Now, the new chronology says that servant is plural. But even if it were, which I do not believe it to be, but suppose that servant is plural, the fact still remains Jesus had that chronology in the 1870s. Did he lie when he passed it on to the seventh trumpeter? Did he withhold it from the seventh trumpet? Revelation 22:6-10. Brother Russell explains in these verses his commission. He says he is here to show us things to come, and he says it's because the time is at hand. The seventh messenger to the church says, I'm showing you things to come because the time is at hand. The Laodicean trumpet has chronology as its basis. I don't think we can say that about any other trumpeter. Chronology, scripturally, this is not me. This is the angel saying it there. I'm telling you these things because the time is at hand. He says chronology is the basis of his blowing. Was he wrong? Revelation 18:4 is Brother Russell speaking. It's the he is the antecedent of chapter 19, 9, and 10. But it's the casting off of Babylon in 1878. How did he know that? How did Brother Russell know Babylon was being cast off in 1878? He tells us how. It's based on the Jubilee. The Jewish double. If the Jewish double is wrong, how do you know Babylon was cast off in 1878? Matthew 25:12. The pronouncement is made that the bridegroom came. Based on what? Daniel 12? No. Brother Russell says, in his own words, it was based on Acts 3:21 and the Jubilee. He says, only on that was it based. The new chronology says no. It destroys that evidence. Revelation 11:15-19. There is a divine summary of the seventh angel's ministry. When he trumpets, he announces a change of rulership. The new chronology bases a lot on the seventh stage of the church. Well, it is the seventh stage of the church. But it's not what Revelation 11 says. It says this is a change of rulership. We have gone from the kingdom of this world to the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. That's not the seventh church. That's the seventh millennium. It is purely a chronological conclusion. The seventh trumpet said so. The new chronology says no. Who's right? Mind you, following that verse, the 24 elders, regardless of who you think they might be, they say, yes, yes, the reign has begun. They agree with the chronology conclusions of the seventh trumpet. Are those 24 elders right? Or is the new chronology? Revelation 10, verse 7, comments on Daniel 12. It says, I'm not reading it. You can read it yourself. It says, Miller's message will fail. You know, they're going to get a tummy ache. But if you wait and come to the voice of the seventh angel, that's 1874, not today, when he shall surely sound, the answers will be there. Revelation 10 interprets Daniel 12. It tells you what's blessed about 1874. It tells you the mystery will be finished. It's not dealing with the Lord's return, even though that is factual at that date. It is dealing with the finishing of the mystery, the information that is due. Was the Russell trumpeting correct? Or is the new chronology? Are you ready to give all of this up? Mostly because of 1 Kings 6:1 and some flimsy attempt to synchronize Israel's kings with Judah's. That's what it comes down to. May the Lord bless your meditations. I hope that most of you did not find this to be a stressful hour. As I said at the beginning, I didn't want to give this talk. I would hope, most of all, that somehow it is edifying. I was pointed, but I feel pointedly about it. I was speaking as one of the watchmen, which I hope all of us get to be, because we're supposed to be. I would like you to leave this convention thinking that maybe all the talks were edifying somehow, not some of them discouraging. It was given in a spirit of hoping to establish the hearts of those who are wondering and seeking and questioning. May the Lord add his blessing.